Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show rolls on ESPN Upstate. Robin Diesel with you on a Tuesday afternoon. We have got so much to talk about, so much to get to. Again, coming up in about half an hour, a little under half an hour, I'm going to give you a very, very introductory novice guide to sports wagering. I have had a number of people reach out to me since I've started talking about putting cash money down on games. Give you a very novice introduction to that. And again, I am no expert, nor do I claim to be one. Not a handicapper in any stretch of the imagination, but I will throw $2-3 down here and there towards a game or two. So I'll give you just a kind of a novice introduction to what some of the words mean in sports gambling. And of course, I will also tell you the things that I am looking for when I am looking at lines heading into football, basketball, baseball weekend. So that's coming up here in about half an hour. And also, yesterday, I posted a column on our website, which you can go visit right now at ESPNUpstate.com, www.ESPNUpstate.com. And that column was kind of a spinoff of the topic of the show that I did yesterday, where I asked the question to South Carolina Gamecocks fans, are you done? Are you done? Has your enthusiasm for the Gamecocks petered out? That's the question I asked on the show yesterday, because as I mentioned yesterday on the show, I set up the first hour of the program to be dedicated to South Carolina fans. The first hour of the program was dedicated to South Carolina fans. And I asked, I begged for South Carolina Gamecocks fans to call in. I begged for USC fans to tell me what happened in that game, what went wrong, what went right, what did you hate, what did you like. Just give me some feedback from that game. And in the entire first hour of the show, in the entire first hour of the show, Diesel and I got one text message. And the only text message we got said, same old Gamecocks, boneheaded play causes a loss. That was it. That's the entire feedback that we got back in the first hour of the show. Now, it picked up a little bit in hour number two, and so we ran with that for a little while longer, but not all that much, right? And I asked the question, are South Carolina fans done? Have you lost the spark? Have you lost the enthusiasm? Look, I've got friends back in Florida who are FSU fans. And so I'm going, so that you guys know, I will be back next week. I'll be off next Thursday and Friday, because next weekend I am in a wedding. And so I'll be back in Florida that weekend. And I was looking at the college football slate on that Saturday, because I used to, when I was in Florida, when I was in Destin, Pensacola area, I used to MC game watch parties for a number of fan clubs down there in Florida. In fact, one restaurant in Destin on the Destin Harbor, which if you've never gotten the chance to go, I highly advise it. One restaurant hosted the FSU game watch parties, the Florida game watch parties, the UCF game watch party, the USF game watch party, and the Oklahoma game watch parties. And I used to bounce between those five clubs and watch with all of them just to kind of be out and about and in public on College Football Saturdays. Well, I was texting some of the presidents of those different clubs to ask, hey, are you guys doing parties? Are you doing social distancing and all that? How are your parties going? Whatever. Because I was thinking, well, you know what? I might pop by and wave hello to everybody for those games. And I talked to the president of the FSU fan club, wrote me back, and she said that they are not doing official watch parties because of the Rona, but there is a small gathering of the officers every week who get together and watch the game, and that they love me to come by since I haven't seen them in a couple of years. And then I said, well, you know, is it all the Rona? And she said, no, honestly. She said last season there was so little interest in FSU football. There were so little interest in the, and these watch parties for Florida State, when I would go MC these events for them, these watch parties were bringing in 85, 90, sometimes 100 FSU fans. They closed off the entire roof of an enormous rooftop bar just for FSU fans who would gather, like I said, 85, 90, 95, 100 strong, depending on the game. She said that last year at the end of the year, there was so little enthusiasm for FSU that they were getting 8 to 10 people to show up for watch parties. She told me, as an aside, and I don't think I'm supposed to say this, but it is what it is. I'm comparing this. I'm putting this in context with the conversation we had yesterday about South Carolina fans. She said that she was almost glad that the Rona had X-nayed their official fan club meetings this year, solely because of the fact that there were so little people coming, so few people coming last year, that she didn't know if it was going to be a viable Saturday activity for FSU fans in the Florida Panhandle. She did not know if they were going to get the approval from the bar or the FSU Booster Club because they had so few people coming in to watch these games, so few people coming in to be a part of these watch parties, that the owner of the bar was worried he was going to end up losing money on FSU games and was just going to outright cancel them. And she said at least because of the fact that the Rona X-nayed these meetings, we don't have to go downstairs and face the Florida Gator fan club and get laughed at because the FSU fans didn't show up to the point that we got canceled, hashtag cancel culture 2020, right? So the point that I'm making here is that you are not the only ones who are in this boat, if this is the case. You are not the only ones who are struggling with a fan base that is kind of unenthusiastic at this point in time. You are not the only fan base that is struggling to get fans excited and to get fans in the door. There are a number of other programs. Miami has had that problem for the past few years. The Miami fan club down in the Destin, Pensacola area. I used to go MC watch parties for them. And a number of years ago, when Miami fans thought that they were back, Miami fans were coming into the same bar and they were bringing in 45, 50 people for a watch party. Over the past couple of seasons, despite the fact that they have been beating FSU consistently, they have been competing with Florida for the proverbial non-existent state championship. Because of the fact that Miami could not turn the corner, for the most part, Miami fans stopped showing up. And their watch parties went away because there weren't enough people showing up to justify hosting these watch parties, and their fan club dissipated into nothing. Now, I suspect that they're probably on their way back now. And by the way, after that beatdown this weekend, even as bad as FSU is, all of a sudden, I got to think that Clemson fans have a weather eye turned down towards Miami, Florida, and they are on hurricane watch at this point because everybody thought it was going to be Notre Dame that was going to be the biggest challenge to the Clemson Tigers this year in the Atlantic Coast Conference. All of a sudden, those hurricanes down in Miami look like they have gone from a tropical storm to a Category 2. We'll see if they can reach Cat 5 before they take on the Tigers. Now, that being said, the point that I'm making here is to South Carolina fans. It's okay to say and to acknowledge that you've lost a little bit of the enthusiasm, that you've lost a little bit of that spark. It doesn't mean that you're not a fan. It doesn't mean that you are not a lover of your team or a supporter of your team. It doesn't mean that you're not going to watch the Gamecocks fans. You're not going to cheer for them on Saturdays when they go into some of these games that they are in the contest to win. All I'm saying is that it's okay to understand that you are in a spot now. You are in a spot now where you have you've kind of lost that enthusiasm. You might not be rocking that Gamecock garnet and black with as much fervor around the upstate area as you used to. You might not be spending as much money on new hats and shirts as you used to. You might not be as inclined to drive over to Columbia for a game as you used to. And you are not alone in that group. There are plenty of other fan bases that are right there with you. Like I said, the FSU Booster Club president down in the Florida Panhandle where I come from told me yesterday that she is actually almost happy that the Rona is there because they were afraid they were going to end up having to get their Booster Club meetings and official watch parties canceled anyway because people just weren't showing up. Why would FSU fans want to go to a bar and drop 50 or 60 bucks at a bar to watch their team play, knowing full and damn well then when it's all said and done, they're walking out of there with another L? How many FSU fans would have showed up to that game on Saturday? By the way, a game that, speaking of gambling coming up here in about 15 minutes, a game that I told y'all last week was free money. I told you it was free money. Miami was a 7.5-point favorite. I will tell you for real, that is the first game this season, any sport, first game in 2020, any sport that I put actual money down on. I put big money down on that game because that was a guaranteed hit to me. A guaranteed hit to me, right? How many Florida State fans were going to show up to a bar on Saturday night down in the Sunshine State and we're going to shell out 50, 60 bucks to sit in a bar and watch that game play out, taking a 42-point drumming to their in-state rivals, right? Diesel, what's a handle of good whiskey cost nowadays?
Solid 40 bucks.
Sure. I spend 40 bucks and get an entire bottle of whiskey to bring back to the house. And I will sit there and polish off a half bottle and not hate myself if I'm a Florida State fan, right? The point here, ultimately, that I'm trying to make is that South Carolina fans, I understand the enthusiasm's not there right now. The spark's not there right now. But you're not alone in that. You're not bad fans for that. You're not bad fans for saying, I can't give anymore until something gets given back. And that is the impression that I got from the conversation yesterday. With that being said, because I got two responses on Facebook that I wanted to hit back at real quick before we take our break. The first one that I got back was that because I said, hey, look, this is not a troll or an attack. You guys know my style. I am not a troll, and I do not attack. I'm too nice of a guy. I'm a really nice guy. Despite what some people have said about me on Facebook, I'm a really nice guy. I think any of you guys who have met me in person out and about since back in March when I got here will agree I'm a really nice guy. Even if we don't agree, I don't attack, I don't troll. It's not my style. But somebody said this is absolutely a troll job. You guys only ever talk about Clemson. Now, Diesel, you're the ombudsman here. You call me out if I'm lying on this. Yesterday, for an hour and a half of the broadcast, did we talk about any other school or game outside of the University of South Carolina? No.
No.
And listen, Diesel loves to call me out on the air and tell me I'm wrong about stuff. He lives for it.
I love it.
It gives them sustenance. It gives them life. Every time that Diesel gets to point out that I'm wrong on air, he looks 3 years younger the next day. Trust me, I've seen it in person. All right? Absolutely, entirely, top to bottom, you're not alone in that, South Carolina. And we are not all Clemson all the time. We are the Upstate Sports Station. Coming up tomorrow on the show, I'm working on a Greenville Triumph interview for you. Later on in the week, as we are now inside, well, I should say just a couple of days past, 2 months away from the start of Swamp Rabbits hockey. I got another interview with the Swamp Rabbits coming up for you to tell you where they're at in their off-season preparation. We are the Upstate Sports Station. We carry high school sports. We talk South Carolina. We talk Clemson. We talk Furman. We talk Wofford. We talk local professional sports, the Swamp Rabbits, the Drive, the Triumph. We are not a Clemson station. We are a sports station, and I know that that's weird in the South. I know that it's unusual in the South. Most places that I have been in, the sports station in town talks about a team. You're absolutely right. When I was in Jacksonville, the sports station in Jacksonville, even the one that I briefly worked for, they were a Jaguars and Florida Gator station. If you wanted anything outside of Jacksonville Jags or the UF Gators, you had to stream it online. You had to podcast because the local station wasn't giving it to you. That is the opposite of what we try to be here. We want to talk upstate sports. So this is not a Clemson station at all. This is an everybody station. It is for Clemson, but it's also for South Carolina fans and Wofford fans and Furman fans and Triumph fans and Swamp Rabbit fans and Drive fans and high school football fans from around the area. That's what we're here for. So don't come at me like that was an attack. I opened the door. I begged for South Carolina fans to come in, and they didn't. And to circle back to my first point, South Carolina fans, you're all right, man. You're all right. This is a normal feeling for a college football fan, I promise. I know that the passion isn't there right now. I know that you are not floating over your couch when Carolina kicks off on Saturdays. I know that you are not rocking the black and garnet around town as frequently and passionately as you used to do and as you want to do. I get it. And you're not alone in that. You're not the only one, I promise. 844-477-3776. 844-GSP-ESPN is the number to be a part of the show. Hit me on Twitter at The Rob Brown Show, at The Rob Brown Show, and twitter.com/ESPNUpstate. All right. Couple of texts that came in real quick at 71307, 71307. A few texts that have come in so far. ESPN, hey, Rob, I couldn't listen yesterday. As a Cox fan, unless they shock the world and go underage the rest of the season, I'm done with them this year and look forward to next year and the new coaching staff. Later, Drew. Drew, thanks for that text. And again, I don't think you're alone in that. Diesel, this one's for both of us at ESPN. Rob, why is it that I am now imagining Tom Cruise with his crooked teeth singing, "You've Lost That Loving Feeling" to Gamecocks fans? Love it. Love it. That's what we call continuity in the biz. At ESPN, Rob, what is your take on the withhold your money and support until change is made angle that have? I'll tell you what, I'll address that coming up here in just a minute. That's Mark Ryan's take on the Gamecocks, and I will address that here in just a minute. And last text before we run to break, 71307, start your text with ESPN. Last break says, ESPN, Rob, dude, the Facebook guy probably eats Hellsman mayo instead of Duke's. I wouldn't worry about him. Y'all.
Did you just say Hellsman?
Yeah, well, that's what he said in his tweet.
Oh.
Or his text. He said Hellsman. It's Hellman's. But, I mean, I like Hellsman if you're a Duke's fan. Y'all, last night.
That's Hellboy all grown up. Hellboy grown up.
Hellboy grew up in a Hellman. I last night just wanted to tweet about the Monday Night Football game, and I wanted to tweet about the Stanley Cup Game 7. And of the texts and tweets I sent last night, Diesel, if I'm lying, I'm dying, bro. Of all the texts last night about Monday Night Football and the Stanley Cup that I wanted to send out, dude, 75% of my texts last night were about Duke's mayo and the proper way to eat it. That is not a joke. I don't understand it. I don't get it. And the best part is, even though I'm saying I'm not hating on Duke's mayo, I'm saying I don't understand it. I don't get it. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying I disagree with it. I'm saying I don't understand it. And, bro, even saying I don't understand it, I kept checking the back window of my apartment to make sure there wasn't a mob with pitchforks and torches waiting outside for me for having the audacity of saying I don't understand the love for Dukes. I haven't even had it yet. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying I haven't had it. That being said, Diesel, we're doing it for the gram this weekend, before I leave town and go home to hang out with the family for a weekend, before I leave South Carolina, I am buying a jar of Duke's mayo to transport home.
Mm-hmm.
And I am going to be doing a taste test of Duke's mayo, Hellman's mayo, Blue Plate mayo, and Kraft mayo. I'm going to be making sandwiches of each, feeding them to my entire family to find out if my family selects Duke's over all the other mayos on the list. We are putting this thing to the testy, so I'm taking this dead seriously.
Well, good. Just take a sandwich, you know, preferably a big one, and cut it down into quarters and put each one on each style and just say, which one do you prefer? Blind taste test.
I am going to take – I'm going to make four sandwiches, right?
Yep.
I'm going to make one sandwich with each. Then I'm going to cut them up into little pieces. I'm going to put them on four plates with just the number next to them. I'm going to have my family try all four sandwiches and vote what is their first, second, third, and fourth favorite mayo. I'm going to put a point system in play. If it's your first, you get 4 points, second favorite, 3 points, et cetera. And we are going to put to a food family a mayo taste test to find out if Duke's is everything that everybody here claims that it is. We got to run to a break because we're way late, and I don't want to do another 20-minute mayonnaise discussion. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And away we go, ladies and gentlemen, the Rob Brown Show on your radio. This is ESPN Upstate 97.7 FM Greenville, 97.1 FM in Spartanburg, all around the world, on the radio.com app. Put it on your tablet, smartphone, PC, whatever, laptop, whatever it is that you use to connect to the interwebs, or go to radio.com/ESPN Upstate/listen. radio.com/ESPN Upstate/listen. You can listen to the station 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and use the Radio Rewind feature. If you miss a moment of the Rob Brown Show, a moment of Offsides with Mark Ryan, you can re-listen to those shows up to 24 hours after they are aired. Plus, make sure that you go to our podcast section on the website at ESPNUpstate.com. We podcast all 3 hours of the show every day after the show airs, so you are able to go listen to the entirety of the show from our podcasting catalog. So make sure you go check that out. It's ESPNUpstate.com. Go to the podcast section, and you can download all 3 hours of the show every day. So if you love the Rob Brown Show, but you get yourself caught up at work and you can't listen for a day, don't you worry. We got you. You can use Radio Rewind within 24 hours, and if it's got to be longer than that, then just head on over to the podcast section of ESPNUpstate.com and download the entire 3 hours to listen to the show. All right, here's what we're going to do. I got asked a few minutes ago what my take was on Mark Ryan's thought regarding the thought that if South Carolina fans want to see true change, that their only option is to quit spending money. Quit giving money to the school, quit buying gear, quit buying tickets, etc. I will address that coming up in a little while. But in the very next segment, when we come back here in just a minute from right now, I have had a handful of people over the past month or so who have told me that they've heard me talking about my wagering on sports and have asked me for just a very elementary introduction to how it works, the terminology. I say one of the things, in fact, I think three or four of them have said they've been interested, and they've been interested for a while, but one of the things that's kept them out of it is that every time they try to go learn about it and try to educate themselves on it in order to jump in, they get scared off because when people talk about the terminologies, most people just assume that anybody looking this stuff up knows what the words mean, know the lingo, know the basics of it. And that's not always true. So when we come back here in just a minute, just a brief little introduction, elementary level run through of what some of the basic terminology of sports gambling is, how it works, the way that lines are set, and what I look for when I am picking lines for games over the weekend. I got that coming up for you next. My name is Rob Brown. My man Diesel's back in the studio pushing the buttons, levering the levers, and switching the switches. Quick break. We'll hit that on the flip side. I am Rob. This is the Rob Brown Show. You're listening to ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, welcome back. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. Robin Diesel with you. I've been asked to do this a number of times and figured, hey, why not go ahead and do it, as we are now with the meat and potatoes of the baseball season. We got the NBA Finals, the MLB postseason's coming up. And that is to do just a very brief intro into sports wagering. I've told you guys that there are, I want you to know before I get into all of this, I do not consider myself an expert by any stretch of the imagination. And when I put money on games, I do like $2-3 at a time. I think the last game that I go big on, the only game of 2020 that I have wagered, I call it big money. It is not big money. I put $20 down on Miami covering up 7.5 on FSU, and I'll explain what that means coming up in a second. But that's the only game I've put even double digits or more on this season. So I'm a $2, $3, $4, $5, $6 a game at most type guy. And I really only bet on those games when I'm very confident that something's going to go down. I have a couple of rules that I follow for myself, and I'll give those to you as well coming up here in just a minute. But just a brief intro, because I've had a number of people tell me that one of the things that scares them off a little bit is that when they go look at getting into it, A lot of the terminology, the principles, and the processes kind of scare them off, because most people, they really just kind of approach you with the assumption that you already know what you're talking about in the loosest definition, and then they talk to you as if you're an expert already, and that's obviously not helpful. So here's kind of an elementary guide to what we mean. So first and foremost, and I've gotten this question before. By the way, I am not a person – there are no dumb questions in this segment. So if you have any questions about it, text me at 71307, 71307, or tweet me at The Rob Brown Show with your questions, and I will answer them as we do the segment throughout the rest of the show as well. But 71307, the text line, start your text with ESPN, or shoot me a tweet at The Rob Brown Show, and I will answer those for you as we move on. So there are basically five components to every sports bet at this point, all right? There are the parties to the wager, the selection, the stakes, the odds, and the payout. Those are the five things you need to know. There's also a bunch of different styles of these things, and I'll explain those as we go, but that's what you need to know. The parties to the wager are basically who's doing the betting on each side of the bet, right? For a bet to happen, you got to have a party on both sides of the outcome. Traditionally, there's two types of bets. There's two types of parties. It's either you versus a friend or you versus a sports book, right? When you bet with a friend, it might be, I'll bet you a six-pack of beer that Miami beats Florida State by 21 points or more, right? That's party with a friend. A sports book is going to be where you're betting money. The sports book says, we'll take Miami to beat Florida State by 21 points or less, and you decide if you want to bet the casino or not. The second part is the selection, and that's basically what you're betting on. That one's pretty self-explanatory, right? Again, there's different versions of it, but long story short, the selection is what you're betting on. Are you betting on a victory? Are you betting on a point spread? Are you betting a parlay? And I'll tell you what that is here in just a second. The third thing you need to know is what's at stake, right? And again, self-explanatory, the stake amounts to what is being risked on a wager. It might be that cold beer at the old filling station after work. It might be some amount of money in return for some very other different amount of money. It might be straight up, etc. Then you got to look at the odds, right? The odds are, well, they're the odds. The odds determine how much a bookmaker must pay to the bettor relative to his stake if the relevant selection is correct. And the odds are very much determined by what the thing being betted is. So, for instance, if let's say this weekend the Seattle Seahawks are playing the Cleveland Browns, right? If you are betting for the Browns to beat the Seahawks, well, that's very unlikely to happen. It might happen, but it's very unlikely for that to happen. And so the odds there might be you bet $1, and if the Browns beat the Seahawks, then I will give you back $20. But if the Seahawks beat the Browns, as they would obviously be very, very much expected to, then I simply keep your dollar, right? So there's a bigger risk, bigger reward there. And then finally, it is the payout, et cetera. The payout is, who wins the bet and how does it happen? Now, what types of wagers are there? There's a couple of different kinds, right? The first is what they call the money line bet, right? The money line bet is the one that we just used a second ago. It is just a straight-up bet. The money line bet is saying, I think this team will win. Now, money line bets come with odds, right? So if you go look at a gambling sports book, you'll see the money line odds. And typically, you're going to see some big-time odds. So again, let's use that same example. The Seahawks are playing the Miami, or let's say Cleveland Browns, all right? The Seahawks very much expected to win that game. They're on a roll. The Browns are getting better but finding themselves. They're not quite there yet. So next to those odds are going to be two numbers next to each team. And those are the odds at play in a money line bet. The odds there are going to look, and I'm making this up off the top of my head, and I'm using a hypothetical game so I can use hypothetical numbers. But next to the Seattle Seahawks name is going to be a number with a plus sign next to it. And then next to the Cleveland Browns name, there is going to be a number with a minus. Excuse me, next to the favorite. So in this case, the Seahawks, a number with a plus sign, and next to the underdog, a number with a minus or with a plus sign. Plus and minus basically means that you have to either bet that number or bet $100 to get to that number. So if the Seahawks are, let's say the Seahawks are -1,000, right? They're -1,000, or you got +1,000. The way that that works is if you are taking a team at +1,000, that means that in order to win $1,000, you bet $100 and you +1,000, so you get $1,000 in return plus the $100. Whereas the minus is the other way around, right? So if the Seahawks are -1,000, that means that you have to bet $1,000 in order to win $100. That's all that number means. Is if it is +1,000, wager it for $100. If it's minus, means you, or if it's minus, you have to wager $1,000 to get $100. If it's plus, you have to wager $100 to win $1,000. That's what that number means, and that's a money line bet. The second type of bet you're going to see is a point spread bet, right? A point spread bet. And a point spread bet is when you're going to say Seahawks win by, let's say, 17.5 points. That's the money line on this. If you say that the Seahawks are going to win by 17 points and you decide to go with the money line, then if the Seahawks are -1,000, right, if Seahawks are -1,000, that means that you have to bet 1,000 to win 100. The Browns are +1,000, which means you have to bet 100 to win 1,000. The money line bets are going to be a little bit different. Let's use that same example. So the Seahawks are given a line of -17.5. That means that in order to win that bet, the Seahawks have to win by 18 points or more. If the Seahawks win by 14, obviously below that 17.5, if the Seahawks win by 14, you have lost the bet because you were giving away 17.5 points, which means they had to win by 17.5 more. But you're going to see different odds for that type of bet. Usually, you're going to see lines that are going to hover around plus or minus 100 or 115 or 105, somewhere in that ballpark. And what that means is, if the New England Patriots or the Seattle Seahawks -17.5 points, let's say that they're going to get the odds of -115. What that would mean there is that you would have to bet $115 in order to win 100, but you would only get that money if the Seahawks win by 18 points or more. On the flip side, let's say that the Browns are listed with that number, with a -110 number. That means that if the Browns at that point, I put a bunch of examples in my spreadsheet, and that's why I'm skipping teams here. If the Browns were to lose the contest, but lose by 17 points or fewer, then they would win, which means that if they were -110 on the money line and you bet $110, you would win $100 at that point, right? Now, the next type of bet that you can take there is what they call a prop bet or a special bet. A prop bet is when you bet on something very specific, to happen in the game. So I'll give you an example of a prop bet that I took last weekend, okay? Last weekend, the New England Patriots were playing the Las Vegas Raiders. The Patriots were playing the Raiders. One of the prop bets that I took was plus 850, that Cam Newton would score the first touchdown of the game, okay? So that meant that I bet $1, and if Cam Newton scored the first touchdown of the game, that I would get $8 back in return on that bet. Bet $100, you would get $800 back. Now, it's a very specific thing. And there are usually rules in play, which means that he's got to score the first touchdown. It cannot be a passing touchdown. It has to be a rushing touchdown. He has to score the points himself, not have basically an assist to it, etc. That's a prop bet. And they put prop bets on everything. One of my favorite things to do every year during the Super Bowl is look at Super Bowl prop bets, right? One of the prop bets might be who is going to be the Super Bowl MVP. One of the prop bets can be something as silly as, will the national anthem take over or under 1:36.5 to perform, right? So if the singer sings it in 1:32, you win. They sing it in 1:37, you lose, kind of bet. All kinds of props. What color Gatorade will be dumped on the winning coach? Those are prop bets. You can also get a parlay or an accumulator bet. A parlay is when you bet multiple things all on one ticket that increase the odds of that happening. So let's say that the Saints and the Panthers are playing this weekend. So the Saints are favored by, let's make up a number, 10.5 points against the Panthers, right? So you can typically take the 10.5 points and bet the Panthers or the Saints. But then you can start adding other bets to improve the odds. So let's say that you want to take the Panthers to cover a 10.5 point spread on the New Orleans Saints. So you think that they might lose, but it'll be by less than 10.5 points. But you want better odds. Well, then the second thing that you might bet on that parlay is the over-under in the game. And that is basically where they say, okay, we think 56.5 points will be scored in this game. If you take the over, it means 57 or more points wins. If you take the under, it means 56 points or less win. So for a parlay, you might say, okay, I'm going to take the Panthers to cover up the Saints 10.5. So they'll lose, they might win outright or lose by less than 10.5 points. And I am going to bet the under of 56.5. Well, now the money or the odds bet might be Panthers minus 110 in order to cover up the Saints 10.5. But then you add the over-under. So now you're making two bets. And if either one of those bets is wrong, you lose. If both of them are right, you win. But if either one of those bets are wrong, you lose the whole ticket. But your odds, if you get both of those correct, now all of a sudden go from, let's say, minus 110 on either one of those. Now those odds are plus 250. So now instead of betting 100 or betting 115 to win 100, now you bet 100 and you win 250. And you can add on to that. So let's say you want to add one more prop bet into that, one more parlay bet into that. Now you say Saints are going to win, but by less than 10.5. The over is going to hit, so more than 57 points are going to score. And Teddy Bridgewater will throw for 2 touchdowns. You're going to bet that Teddy Bridgewater throws for 2 touchdowns against the Saints. So now you have 3 bets on the same ticket, and now your odds are, let's say, plus 750. So all it takes is for one of those bets to lose, and you lose your original bet of 100. But if all three hit, you win 750 instead of just 100 or whatever close. That is how the basics of it all work when it comes down to it. There are other types of bets, live bets, in-play bets, exchange bets, etc. But for a beginner, those are the bets that you need to know. You got any questions? Shoot them to me by text, 71307, 71307.
I do.
Yep, go ahead, real quick.
Can you go through that all over again? Because it sounded like for the last 7 minutes.
Were you not taking notes?
No, because I couldn't understand what you were saying. You remember that scene in Evan Almighty where he makes Evan say funny things into the camera? That's yep. What it sounded like.
Okay. Well, I hope some of you understood it. at ESPN, I get confused with the plus 50, minus 150 line. So real quick, I'll run over this one more time, then we have to take a break. So a minus 150 line, that means that team is favored to win. And so a minus line means that you have to bet $150. A minus line, it means you have to bet at 150 to get 100, and the plus line is the exact. I'll tell you, let's take a break. I'll come back. I'll explain that real quick on the flip side in a bit more detail before we get out of here for the top of the hour. Let's take a break. We'll come back. I'll run over that line thing one more time because that is the most important thing to know, how that works. I'll run over that one more time, and then we'll take a break. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.